Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Devin, no, you're here. We actually have plenty of time.
All right.
So actually, I only think my next guest is a break. So that's good. They give me one break in 5 hours of broadcasting. I get one chance to run to the restroom and back.
Oh, my God. That's
It's very tough. The older you
awful.
Get, the harder the people work you. You know, it's brutal. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think this might be my, 10th HIMSS conference.
It's my 18th.
Your 18th.
It's crazy.
Wow. All right. You win a prize.
No. This is people 25 years deep in this here. But anyhow, I want to know about Citizen, because we have got a couple extra seconds. We'll get into the thought leader questions, but I've known you for a long time. You're wonderful in the privacy and security world.
Thank you.
A true thought leader.
Thank you.
But I want to hear about Citizen really quick.
Yeah, so Citizen is a platform that individuals can use in order to gather and manage and then share their health information. So it's really been exciting to hear what's been said by some of the folks in government about emphasizing the right of individuals to access their information, because we want to help them do that. And we want to also make sure that they get data that's not just a digital shoebox, but data that is normalized and standardized and summarized in ways that they can then send on in order to help their own care and maybe help people like them. We're actually focusing on very sick patients, so the kind of data that they need, x-rays, pathology reports, in addition to meds and labs, is the type of data that today is really hard to just get out of a portal, or it won't even be available through APIs until, you know, many years from now when we increase the amount of data that's available through those standards-based APIs. So we go the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
We knock on health information management department doors and we say, hey, HIPAA right of access, patient gets this, we take it in, we pull all of the relevant data out of it, and we give back to our users something that is then their story about their illness. And we're starting with cancer. I don't know if I mentioned that. And they can go seek nth opinions. They can see if they're eligible for clinical trials. They can donate to their favorite type of research, share information with a caregiver. Like, it's just really putting into their hands the power to both direct their own care and to help other people.
I love it. Wow.
Thank you.
I didn't realize that. I knew you were focused on cancer, but I didn't understand how deep.
Yeah.
So how do you get to that population? How do you find those patients, those individuals? Do you start off with health systems or?
Yeah, we're actually starting, you know, we have multiple pathways through which we find our users, and we're still pretty early going. We don't have that many users by design because we, you know, what we're building is actually a hard thing to do from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
Who knew? Healthcare is hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. Very.
But
it's also very complex.
It's also very, right, that too.
Yes.
We are going to get users both through relationships with healthcare systems, where the oncologists say, hey, if I had this data on all of my patients, that would really truly be worthwhile. And then also through patient advocacy organizations. So there's lots of them out there who try to help
people. Did you used to help lead one of those? Weren't you in the leadership team?
I did. Yeah. Not one focused on cancer, but
the
National Partnership for Women and Families has a lot of individuals who follow them, who they can reach out to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so working through advocacy groups, who are often a very trusted source of information for patients, is yet another way to say, hey, here's a service that you might want to use. They don't necessarily have to endorse us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really my job as the privacy official in the company to make sure that we have a really good product to sell in terms of people trusting us with their data. We won't sell it or share it unless the consumer is consented.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So now diving into some of the reasons you're here at HIMSS and so forth, what are the trends that you're seeing out there, either healthcare trends or health IT trends that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a bit of a biased answer, but it won't be surprising. Like, I think the whole trend toward empowering consumers or patients with their data is spot on. I mean, you're a parent, right?
Yeah.
Like, getting information on your kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a.
I only work with doctors who are highly interoperable, to be honest.
Good for
you.
Yeah. I'm getting there too. I had a doctor for many years that I really liked who was not. And I finally was like, I, you know, this is, as I get older and my health concerns get more serious, yeah. I need to know that my information can go to where it needs to go quickly and that I can get it quickly and organize it. Same thing with, I mean, I have adult parents who, you know, increasingly are, they're in decent health, but it's not great health. And every year there's something new. Right.
Yes.
So so I think it's really important for people to be on top of their of their health. And you can't do that without data. So that's really the trend that I am most excited about. I'm super excited about the rapid adoption of fire-based APIs. Right. Like, you know, for a long time, we really struggled with how do we get this data moving and to really see the both the regulators, but also the community of you know, industry folks as well as people in the consumer-facing community to say, you know what, we can all get behind this, and it doesn't solve everything, but it solves enough, and we can iterate on it over time and improve it, but this is what this is the direction we ought to be going
You sound like a niche. You just sat up here, and for 15, you sound just like you. It's so great. I love him. Love you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I completely agree.
We're preaching the Bible of fire, right? I almost tweeted, Anish Chopra is on fire, F-H-I-R, and I was
that's good.
That is just too...
No, that would have been good.
Too weird.
You mean from his
anyway.
Talk this morning? From his... Yeah, I heard
he
did a good job.
No, he was seriously... That opening session... was just to me so energizing. Not the gospel. The singers were great, but where I got really energized was having both the regulators and others on stage saying, you know what, this is the time. And I think it fits with the conference theme, right? Champions of health. You can't be a champion of health and hoard data.
That's right.
You cannot be a champion of health if you let your concerns about where's this data going, and I mean, at some point, you just have to say those become excuses.
Correct.
And you gotta push.
Yep.
Push.
Completely agree. Yeah. So, what are two or three best practices that you can offer my audience on how to navigate access to data, access to information, and what you're just speaking about?
Yeah. Well, from whose perspective?
Like, the consumer perspective.
From a consumer perspective,
you have more knowledge of anybody else on some of these topics.
Yeah. So one best practice would be. Don't hesitate to stand up for yourself, because if someone is telling you it's data that you cannot have, the chances are pretty good that they are wrong.
Right.
And sometimes they don't intend to be wrong. I think sometimes just the information about what people have a right to is still sort of trickling out, even though this has been around for 20 years.
Exactly,
this is nothing new, but it didn't get a lot of emphasis, so I'll give people a little bit of a pass.
1996, we started this?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the regs didn't come out till 1999.
Okay.
So...
Yep. That's right. You're right.
But still, it's a long time.
Yeah.
It's 20 years now.
Correct. Yes.
Like, it's time.
Very true.
But you're probably not being told what's accurate. So, you know, go to OCR's website. Go to consumer groups like
Office
the National Partnership.
OCR.
Office for Civil Rights. Yes, thank you. We have stuff on our website, webpage, citizen.com, as resources for people. Like, if you're being told you can't get your x-rays, that's wrong. If you're being told you can't get your records, that's wrong. If you're being told you have to come in person to get your records, that is also wrong.
Love it.
Like, all the ways that they're making it hard for you, wrong.
Yep.
So that is like and then from that point, once you have the data, like, it really is going to be incumbent on you to put it in a safe place.
Yep.
Which means that if you want to use a consumer facing app or a service like ours, you're actually going to have to read the privacy policy.
Yes.
Because those entities are all outside of HIPAA, including us.
Yep.
And that means that the protections for your data are all sort of put in this set of policies that you really have to read, because once you click on that thing that says, yes, I want to do this, you are in. You've basically consented to everything that they've said in these sometimes hard to read.
Disclosures,
The disclosures, terms of service and privacy policies, but you kind of have to do that. And I do think that there's going to be more resources available to consumers to help them navigate that space now that we're opening up the doors to the data in that direction. So don't take no for an answer. Do your homework. And put your data in terms of putting your data in a safe place.
Fantastic. What do you think about the new rule coming out? It came out yesterday.
Yeah, I might be the only person at this conference who hasn't even skimmed it yet.
But you like the concept of it.
Yeah, the concept of it, you know, information blocking was really a revelatory provision in the 21st Century Cures Act. And it scared the crap out of a lot of entities who could be subject to information blocking penalties.
Yep.
And it was, you know, a joyous occasion for folks who sort of felt like the data that they needed to move around was just sort of jammed up in lots of ways that, you know, that didn't really make a lot of sense. They weren't technical obstacles. They were business obstacles. They were you know, regulatory misinformation types of obstacles. So I think we're going to get clearance on all of that and be able to get through some of the sludge.
Yep.
And then if there are remaining technical issues to be resolved, we'll have a better idea of where they are, because they won't be sort of shrouded behind essentially business concerns.
I completely agree.
So,
excellent.
So I'm pretty excited to dig into it, actually.
Yep.
That's the nerdy side of me. Like, oh, this is great, but I want to go home and read regs.
Right. I know. I was actually fortunate. So I have Elise Sweeney Anthony on my show at 3:50 today.
Nice.
Talking about the new rule. But Peter, who in communications at ONC, sent me the infographic, which is what I was thankful for, because I didn't have time to read the reg. Actually, it's been preparing for this show. But I did read the infographic, and I do like it. The only thing I'm concerned about is they mentioned if it's too much of a burden to share the information, and there's going to be you can get basically dispensation for not sharing based on it being too much of a burden. I just don't want that being levied.
No, I think they need to provide a lot more detail on what is meant by a burden.
Because
you know, everything that takes work is a burden.
Yes,
arguably,
correct.
Right?
And that's what I'm worried about.
I have to do
about.
Something different from what I did before.
That's a burden, right?
That's a burden,
yeah.
Right?
Look,
the reality is that when you're changing workflows within a healthcare institution,
yep.
it kind of feels like moving the Titanic, right? But that can't be the litmus test,
correct.
Right?
That's right.
You know, you have to change. If there are other things that make it too much of a burden, you got to specify what that is. And frankly, ONC needs to provide more detail, but we need to help them actually.
Correct.
As part of this comment period.
Very true.
What does it mean to be too much of a burden, and what should be off the list?
Yes.
As being too much of a burden.
Excellent point. So my last question: we spent a lot of time looking at here and now at HIMSS, in 2019, 2020. What about 3 years from now? What do you think we need to be thinking about, or looking towards, or looking forward to, or need to navigate potentially in 2022?
I actually think that there are going to be a lot more companies at this conference that never were at this conference before, that never thought mm-hmm. about coming to this conference, because we've opened up the aperture around data,
right.
And we
That's
have
excellent point.
Opened the door to excellent. A lot of companies who are going to see amazing opportunities in the space, right? This is what percent of GDP is healthcare now? Like 19, 20?
Yeah.
Okay. It was 16 when I was in public
Correct.
Health school in 1993.
Right.
So,
I know.
So it's moving up, obviously.
Yeah.
And you know, that's going to, again, we're already seeing large companies like Amazon and others who were not in the healthcare space previously fly in very deeply.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be very a whole host of companies are going to think about the solutions that they've provided in other industries and say, you know what? We are at the data is flowing better. We actually have some opportunities here to bring some of what we did to transform another industry into healthcare to make it better. So I think there will be this exhibit floor will start to look increasingly like the Consumer Electronics Show,
yes,
right?
In Vegas, the CES show.
It edges
yeah.
closer and closer there every year, and maybe right in time for us to have HIMSS back in Vegas.
Exactly.
Which now that I live on the West Coast, I'm like,
oh,
I'm
you
ready
left
for.
DC?
Yeah,
really?
I live in Silicon Valley. I followed the company.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. But it makes getting to Orlando a little more challenging.
It does. I actually lived in Palo Alto, 836 Forest Avenue, two streets off of University.
I know exactly where Forest is.
Yeah.
I had a work assignment in Palo Alto in 1997. I was at 555 Forest Avenue. We were practically neighbors.
In 1997?
I
was there in 1998, 99.
Yeah, I was gone by then.
Oh,
that's so funny.
Gracious.
I could have left a breadcrumb trail for you.
Hilarious. That's awesome. I didn't realize you moved to the West Coast. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes, yeah.
How long have you been a citizen then?
We have been a company since November, incorporated in September 2017, but we had our first day November 6th, 2017, and I was there. I had moved just like 2 days before that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Dev McGraw, thank you very much for joining us today.
Justin, thank you for the invite. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again. Thank you so much. Yeah, I want to have you back in my radio show later on in the year to get an update on what you guys are doing.
I'd love to do it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.